Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Brachos Daf Nun Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin our Shiur at the top of Daf Nun Ches. The Gemara here continues with a discussion concerning Bovel, which was the topic that we encountered at the end of our previous shiur. Omer of Yirmiyah ben Elozer, we are at the top line. Niskalu le Bovel, niskalu l'shchineha. Bovel was cursed, it was destroyed, and its neighbors also suffered. In other words, with the loss of Bovel, the surrounding areas also experienced loss. Niskalu lo Shomron, the northern kingdom of Israel, was also destroyed and exiled. However, nisbarchu shcheinaha, the surrounding areas, the nations surrounding that area, in fact, derived benefit. And the Gemara explains, niskalu Bovel, niskalu shcheinaha. With the destruction of Bovel, its neighbors, the neighboring countries, also lost out. Dichtiv, the Pasuk in describing the destruction of Bovel says, V'samtil l'murj kipoid v'agme mayim. The areas around it will be the, we'll say, the possession of the kipoid is a type of creature, and pools of water. In other words, desolation is what's being described. Niskalo Shomron nisbarchu shchineha dichtiv v'samti Shomron li'i hasodeh l'mitei kerem. Shomron was made like a heap in the field and a place for planting vineyards. So naturally, a place for planting vineyards is something beneficial to any other peoples who came into that area. V'omar Rav Hamnuna, Horoya Uchlusi Yisrael. Omer, if one sees a large number of Jews, Rashi points out that you're dealing with a number like 600,000. So Omer Baruch Chochom Horozim. One would say, blessed be the Almighty who knows the secrets of each one. Uchlusi Ovdei Kechavim, if one sees a large gathering of idol worshippers, Omer, then you say, Busha Imchem. The Pasuk itself means, your mother shall be ashamed. Of course, a reference to a large group of idol worshippers. Tanu Rabbanan, we have a Tanaic source that continues with the issue of a large group of people. Haroya Uchlusi Yisrael Omer, one who sees a large gathering of Jews, and we mentioned 600,000, will say, Baruch Chochom Horozim, She'en Daitam Doime Ze Loze, Ve'en Partsufeim Doimim Ze Loze. Blessed be the Almighty who knows the secrets of each one. Each person's ideas are different than that of the others, and each one's looks, their faces are different from one another. Ben Zoma ro uchlusa al gav ma'ale b'harabayis. Ben Zoma saw a large gathering at the ascent to the Temple Mount. Omar boruch chochom horozim uboruch shiboro kol elu l'shamsheni. Blessed be the Almighty who knows the mind of each one, and blessed be He who created all of these to serve me. And here we have comments. We've identified them with diamonds, and on the side of our Gemara there's Amiros Shel Ben Zoma. The first is relevant to this last point about the how grateful he is to all those that serve me. What does Benzoma mean? Does he mean that he had a lot of servants? No, but what does he mean? Benzoma used to say, Kama yugios yoga odom harishon. You can imagine how many efforts Odom Harishon, the original man, expended ad shemosa pas lechol, until he was able to come up with a loaf of bread to eat. Chorash, he plowed, Zorah planted, Kotzar harvested, Omar piled up sheaves, Vidosh he threshed, Vizorah he winnowed them, Uborar and separated the chaff from the kernels, Vitochan and ground up the kernels, Vihirkid sifted, Velosh and kneaded the dough, Veofen baked, Viachakach ochal. And only after all of those efforts did he finally have a loaf of bread. Vani mashki mamotzi kol elu misukon lufonai. And I wake up in the morning, and I go to the local grocery store, and I find a ready loaf of bread. And I am grateful for that, that I don't have to go through all of those procedures. They're all done for me. But come on, another point that he, Ben Zoma, makes in terms of expended efforts that he doesn't have to go through. V'kamo yegiois yoga odom harishon achemotzo beged lilbosh. All of the stages necessary to manufacturing an article of clothing to wear. And what does that involve? Gozas, the shearing of the wool, v'libein, and to whiten it, v'nipates, to comb it, v'tova, to spin it, v'orag, to weave it, v'achakach motzo, beged lobosh, v'ani mashkim u'motze kol elu misukonim lefonai. And I wake up and go to the local clothing shop and find everything ready. Kol umonios shoktos ubos lepesach besi. All different artisans and craftsmen come to my door in a figurative sense. Vani mashkim umotzi kol elu lefonai. And I find all of their products all ready. So Ben Zoma is acknowledging that the Almighty set up a world in which there's a whole chain of manufacture, and every individual is able to benefit from the products without exerting so much effort. Hu hoya omer, another statement of Ben Zoma's, oreach tov mahu omer. And we've highlighted with this marking this double underline with a design in it, what an oreach tov says, and what an oreach ra says. An oreach is a guest. What does a grateful guest say, and what does a selfish type guest say? So oreach tov mahu omer, a guest, a grateful guest. What is his attitude? What does he say? Kama tirchos torach balabais v'shvili. And look how much he put himself out for me. And this, the point of a grateful guest, we should point out ahead of time, is someone that is invited and benefits from someone who anyway was going to prepare for his family. And nevertheless, the grateful guest will say, look at all the effort he, the balabayas, the host, expended bishvili for me. Kama bosur hevi lefonai, how much meat he brought to me. Kama yayin hevi lefonai, how much wine he served me. Kama guskois hevi lefonai, how many loaves, cakes he brought to me. V'chol ma shetorach lotorach bishvili, and all his efforts he made for me. Aval oreach ra mahu omer, the ungrateful guest. What is his attitude? What does he say? Ma torach balabayas hazeh. What effort did he make for me? Pas achas ochalti. I ate a piece of bread. Achati achas ochalti. One piece of meat. Kois achal shasisa. I drank one cup. Kol torach shetorach balabayas hazeh. Lo torach b'shvil ishto obonav. Well, all the efforts that he expended for his wife and children alone. Al oreach tov mahu omer, regarding a grateful guest, what does it say? Zechor ki tasgi fo'alo asher shoru anoshim. That pasuk is a reference to what the
what the grateful guest would say. And the translation of the pasuk is, remember how your works are magnified of which man has sung. The recognition of the how much the Kodesh Baruch Hu does for the benefit of mankind. So the Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't, it's not everything for him is effortless, but yet the grateful individual recognizes it as if it were with effort. Alo Reach Tov, Ksiv, regarding the ungrateful guest, it says, Lechu Yireu Anoshim Lo Yire Kol Chacham Lev. The Gemara continues, Vo'ish Bimei Sho'ul Zokin Bo Banoshim. This pasuk the Gemara is from Sefer Shmuel Aleph Perich Gitzayin. Who is referred to in this? The pasuk itself means there was a man, an elderly man, who was Bo Banoshim. Omar Rava Vitemar Ozvid, Vitemar Rav Hoshaya, Ze Yishai Avi David. This pasuk, in referring to this elderly or sage individual who used to come in amongst men, is a reference to the father of David HaMelech. Shiyotza Buchlusa V'Nichnas Buchlusa V'Dorash Buchlusa. From the translation of the Gemara, it would appear that he was accompanied by an Uchlusa, a large group of people, whenever he went out and whenever he went in and whenever he held forth and lectured. And if a chlusa will take, like Rashi said before, as 600,000, so that's quite a large group of people to accompany this person. Omar Ula, Nikitinon, Ein Uchlusa, B'Bovel. We have a tradition that in Bovel you don't have this large assembly. Tana, Ein Uchlusa, Pusa, Mishishimibo. And here you can see where Rashi got his number from, that the Tanaic source tells us, and the term uchlusa, it doesn't apply to less than 600,000. Shishim is 60, Rebo is 10,000. 60 times 10,000, 600,000. Tana Rabbanan, Horoya Chachmei Yisrael, Omer, one who sees wise men of Israel, great rabbinic figures, one would say, Boruch Shecholak Michochmosoi L'Reov, blessed be the Almighty who shared, divided from his wisdom to those that fear him. Chachmei Ovdei Kochavim, if one sees a wise Gentile, Omer Abrocha said in respect to him as well, Baruch Shenosan Mechachmosoi Lebriosov. There's another girsa on this, is Baruch Shenosan Mechachmosoi Lebosir Vedom. Blessing the Almighty who gave from His wisdom to mankind. Horeya Malchi Yisrael, Omer Boruch Shecholak Mikvodo L'Reav, one who sees a Jewish king, king of Israel, so he says, blessed be the Almighty who divided out, gave a portion of His honor to those that fear Him. Malchi Ovdei Kechavim, one who sees a Gentile king, Omer Boruch Shenosan Mikvodo L'Briosav. Or, like we said before, Lebosar Vadam. We're acknowledging the Almighty who gave of His honor to human beings. Om Rabbi Yochanan, the Olam Yishtagel Olam Lorotz Likras Malchi Yisrael. This comment was seen much earlier in our Masechta, that a person should strive whenever to attempt to greet a Jewish king. The Lo Likras Malchi Yisrael Bovad, not only this idea of running to greet a king is not limited to kings of Israel. Ela afilu likras malchei ovdei kechavim, even to go greet a Gentile king. Sheim yizke, if he, this person who runs to see the king, if he merits it, yavchin bein malchei Yisrael malchei ovdei kechavim. When this is a reference to the time the Moshiach will come, when there's the great redemption, if he should so merit, he'll be able to appreciate all the more after seeing the honor accorded to Gentile kings, which is no little matter, but they'll see how much greater the honor that will be given to the Redeemer of Israel, and will be able to appreciate it all the more. We now have an incident, and we'll be marking these incidents featuring here Rav Sheshes, and a few lines later featuring Rabbi Shiloh, where you see the names are highlighted with a special marking. Rav Sheshes Sagi Norhavi. And let's point out also, by way of a length marking, to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, you can see we've noted Rav Sheshes Vahatziduki and circled it with a descending vertical dashed line, showing you the length of this Maisa, this incident. And then following that, there'll be a Maisa de Rabbi Shiloh, which also has an accompanying long marking, taking you down to the second line from the end. So from here till practically the bottom of the Omed are two stories. So Rav Sheshes Sagi Nor Havi, he was lacking sight. The word Sagi Nor is a euphemism. Sagi means a lot of Nor, light. But he was actually, it was very dark for him. He was blind. Havi Ko'azli Kule Amo Ligbuli Api Malko, the entire community went to greet the king. The Kom Ozo Bandayu Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes went along. Ashkeche Ahu Tziduki. The Tziduki, a non-believer, met Rav Sheshes. Omale, the Tziduki said, Chatzvi Lenara. Chatzvi are Kadin Shlemim. They're complete whole barrels without leaks. Kagni Laya. Let's read this again. Chatzvi Lenara. The jugs are going to the river. They're going, that makes sense. They're going there to draw water. However, Kagni, broken vessels, Laya, where are they going? In other words, I understand that everyone who is sighted is going to greet the king. They'll be able to see him and appreciate what is transpiring. But you're blind. Of what benefit is there to you to go to greet the king, someone that you're not even going to be able to see? Omarle, Rav Sheshes says to the Tziduki, Tochozi, come and see the Yodana Tfe Minoch, that I know more than you. I have, though I may be blind, but I have more awareness of what is taking place than you. Cholaf Gunda, a group went by, Cholak Gundo Kamaisa, in anticipation of the king, so the first wave of troops went by, Kiko Avsha, by the way, with our markings, we've highlighted using a triangle the terms Kamaisa, Tinyona, Tulisa. There are three stages that we are highlighting. So, Cholaf Gundo Kamaisa, the first group went by, Kiko Avsha, when the noise increased, Amarle Hahu Tziduki, the non-believer, said to Rav Sheshes, Oh, Osa Malka, the king is coming. So that you have this imagery of a march procession, they pass by in groups. So the first group approached, the noise increased, and the Tziduki says, Oh, this is a sign the king is coming. Omar Le Rav Sheshes Lo Kosi, he's not coming. He's not coming now. Cholaf Gunda Tinyona, the second group went by. Kiko Avsha, when the noise increased, Omar Le Ahu Tziduki, so the non-believer said, Hashto Kosi Malka, the king's coming now. Amalei Rav Sheshes, lo, ka'asi malka. You're wrong, he's not coming now. Cholaf Tlisoi, the third group went by. Ki ka'shoska, when silence fell, Amalei Rav Sheshes, vadai hashta osi malka. So Rav Sheshes said, the king is going to come up, is going to show up now. Amalei Ahu Tziduki, menolocha, how do you know? Amalei Rav Sheshes answers, demalchusa dara ke'en malchusa derikia. The earthly monarch is like the heavenly king. Dichtiv, the Pasuk says, Tzei v'madet bahar lifnei Hashem, v'inei Hashem over, v'ruach g'doylo v'chazok, mefarek horo m'shaber sloim lifnei Hashem. There's an image of a great wind capable of smashing smashing mountains and dismembering stones. And it's coming in anticipation of the Almighty and his coming forth. But the pasuk goes on to say, Lo beruach Hashem. But Hashem doesn't come with this great storm. Vacha ruach rash. And then after the great wind, there is great rash. Rash generally can mean noise or trembling, as in an earthquake. Lo berash Hashem. No, Hashem doesn't come with rash. Vacha rash eish. And after the rash, fire. Lo be'esh Hashem. Hashem doesn't come with the appearance of fire. Ve'achar esh. And after the fire, kol demama daka, a very soft voice. And that's when Hashem appears in the state of quiet and silence. Ki osa malka, when the king actually came by, posach Rav Sheshes v'kom avorech le, the Rav Sheshes blessed him. Omar Leahu Tziduki Leman Delo Chosis Le Kol Mevarchis. So the Tziduki says, for someone that you can't even see, you bless. Umay Havi Olay Dahu Tziduki. Whatever became of that Tziduki? Ika Diamri. Some say Chavruhi Kachlinu Liene. Some say that he was blinded. You might say, ironically, the Ikar the Amri, Rav Sheshes Nosan Einov Bo Venase Gal Shalatzomos. Others say that Rav Sheshes placed his eyes upon him, upon the Tzeduki, and turned him into a heap of bones. The Meforshim discuss what does it mean for Rav Sheshes to be Nosan Einov Bo. Some want to say miraculously Rav Sheshes' sight returned to him, and some say it's a figure of speech. Rav Shiloh, and now another story. Rav Shiloh nagde vahu gavra de boal mitzris. Rav Shiloh issued a lashing to an individual who conducted intimacy with an Egyptian woman. Ozal, the man who had the immoral experience, ochal bekurtze bemalka. This is an expression, hence we have it in singular quotation marks, but it's in Hebrew we say to be malshin. It's to behave as an informer. So he informed on Rav Shiloh, saying, Iko Omar, Iko Chad Gavra Bidoi, the Kodayan Dina, below Harmono de Malko. There is a man amongst the Jews that carries out judgment without receiving harmino de malka, rishus, permission from the king. Shadar ole pristika. So they sent the police to bring in Rav Shiloh. Kiyosa, when Rav Shiloh appeared, Amri le, they asked him, Mai taimo nagdese lahai, why did you lash this man? Omar lehu debo al chamrasa. I lashed him because he conducted intimacy with a donkey. Amri le Isloch Sadi. They asked Rav Shiloh, do you have witnesses? Amalu in, yes, I do. Also Leo Idmi le Kinish the Asid. Miraculously, Elio Anavi appeared, the prophet Elio appeared, and appeared as a common man, and testified. Amri le Ihochi Bar Katlahu, if as the witness is saying that this man had conducted intimacy with a mule, with a donkey, then he is subject to the death penalty. In other words, you let him off easy by just lashing him. Omar Lahu, so Rav Shiloh explains, Anan Mioma de Galinon Me'arin, from the day that we, the Jewish people, were exiled from our land, Leslon Rishusa Lemikta, we don't have permission to conduct court executions. Atun mai deboisun avidu bay. You, however, are the ruling power. Do whatever you like to him. Ad demaini bei bedina, until they had a chance to investigate the case. Pasach of Shilo v'yomar, of Shilo opened and said, "Lecha Hashem agdula v'agvura," praising the Almighty, who has grandeur and strength. Amrile, they asked him, the secular authorities asked Rav Shilo, "My Kwamis, what are you saying?" Omar Lehu, so Rav Shilo said, "Hochi Kwamina, thusly I am saying. B'riach Rachmona, Dioiv Malchusa Ba'aro, Ke'ein Malchusa Durakia, V'yoav Lehu Shultana, V'rach Midina, blessed be the Almighty, who has enabled a terrestrial kingdom to be like the heavenly kingdom, and has given you the power and the power to judge, and that you are people that love justice." Amru, so they heard Rav Sheshes say such wonderful praises about them, so they said, "Chaviva ale yakro de machusa kulehai," you are so fond and admiring of our king. Yahavi le kufa, they presented him with a club, a stick to hit people with. Amrule dondina, and presenting him with this club is, in effect, they were giving him the right to judge cases. And it was the very thing the informer said before, is that there's a man that has that judges without receiving the governmental approval. Here he gets governmental approval. Amrule, they told Rav Shilo, "Dondina, carry out justice to judge cases." Ki havenofik Omar le ahu gavra, as Rav Shilo was walking out, so the person who was originally, we'll call him the informer, the person who Rav Shilo originally had punished. Says the Hu Gavra, says that man says to Rav Shilo, "Ovid Rachmona Niso Lashakri." Does the Almighty perform miracles for liars? As is quite clear in this story, you see the miraculous turn of events. Omar Le, Hochi, Omar Le. Rav Shilo thusly said to him, "Rasha, you wicked man, lav chamri ikru, why are you calling me a liar? Are they not," meaning the idol worshippers, the Egyptians, "are they not in fact called donkeys?" Dechtiv, the pasuk says, "Asher basar chamorim basaram," their flesh is like the flesh of donkeys. Chazia, the Ka'ozil Lememra Luhu, the Karinu Hamri. Rav Shilo noticed that this guy was going to now go back to the authorities and say that Rav Shilo referred to them, to the idol worshippers, referred to them as donkeys. Omar, so Rav Shilo concluded, "Hai Rodef Hu." This man is in pursuit of my life. In other words, by his going back to the authorities and telling them this, in effect, is endangering my life. V'atorah omra, the Torah says, "Imbo lahargucho hashkem lahargoi." Someone who comes to, attempts to kill you, you kill them first. Machyu bekufa v'katleis, Rav Shilo wielded the club that he had received and killed this man. Omar hoyo v'isavid li nisa b'hai kro, Dar Shino Le, since the miracle started to unfold through this pasuk, the pasuk that he quoted before of Lecha Hashem Hagdula Vura, so I'm now, out of recognition that the miracle took place through this pasuk, I'm now going to darshan the pasuk. I'm now going to teach and expound upon this pasuk. And we, in the markings, you can see we've used underlinings. Each part of the pasuk that will be explained is underlined. Lecha Hashem Hagdula. The greatness is unto you, Hashem. Zu Maisa Bracious. That's a reference. Gedula is a reference to the original creation of the world. V'chenu Omer Oisa Gedolos Adein Cheker. See, the word Gedola associated in this pasuk is in the context of creation. Oisa Gedolos Adein Cheker. V'hagvura. Another, the next word from the original pasuk. Zu Yitzias Mitzrayim. Kvura means strength. That's a reference to the Exodus from Egypt. Shenemar Vayar Yisrael Es Hayod HaGedola. And the Jewish people perceive the great, literally the great arm of Hashem, but Hashem has no body form, obviously. So it's a reference to the great workings, the great powers of Hashem. The next word in the original pasuk was Vahatiferes, Zu Chama Ulavona She'omdu Lo LiYoshua. Tiferes, which is a term referring to glorification, is a reference to the sun and moon that stood still in the time of Yoshua. Yeshua had was waging a battle, and in the course of that battle, the sun stood still, and basically the heavens stopped their movement. Shenemar vayidom hashemesh v'yorech omad v'chulei. That's what the pasuk indicates, a true glorification of the Almighty. Vanetzach, the term netzach is a reference to zu mapoloso shoromi. This is a reference to the downfall of Rome. V'chein hu omer. Likewise, it says in the pasuk. Now we're quoting here a pasuk from Yeshaya, Samach Gimel pasuk Gimel, but pasuk Aleph there, the two pasukim before, mentions Mize Bo Me'edom, and the context of this pasuk is Edom is associated with Rome. And it goes on to say there, V'yez nitzchom al begodai. So you see the word netzach in the context of that posuk which features the destruction of Rome. V'hahod, that is another word in the original posuk. Zu milchemes nachle Arnon. This is a reference to the war that took place in Nachle Arnon. Shnemar al ken yomer v'sefer milchemes Hashem es vohev v'sufa. We actually made reference to this number of dapim earlier. And as we learned there, miraculous events took place, so it's appropriate to ascribe the term hod, which is another term of glory that refers to the glory of the Almighty, a place there that miraculous events took place. Ki chol bashamayim uvaretz, a continuation of the original pasuk, zu milchemes Sisra. This is a reference to the war against Sisra in the time of the prophetess, or the judge, we should say, the judge, Devorah. Shenemar, min ha-shamayim nilchamu ha-kechavim mimisilo sam. And in the posuk there was, kichol ba-shamayim uvaretz, even the heavenly bodies went to war. This is what we call the original star wars, as the posuk says. The min ha-shamayim nilchamu ha-kechavim, from the heavens, the stars ward, and that is in that pasuk min hashemayim nilchamu is from Sefer Shoftim, in which which is right after this war with Sisra. Locha Hashem hamam locha zu milchemes Amalek. This is a reference to the war with Amalek. V'chein u'omer kiyan al kes ka. The pasuk describes that as long as Amalek is around, so the name of Hashem is not complete, so that the true kingdom of Hashem will be witnessed when the destruction of Amalek finally takes place. Vehamis nase, again another underlined word from the original pasuk, zu milchemes Gog u'Magog. That's a reference to the war of Gog u'Magog, sometimes referred to in English as the War of Armageddon. V'chein hu omer, hineni elecha Gog nasi rosh meshech v'tuval. So in this pasuk you see the word nasi, which is a leader of state, associated with the word misnasei, same root as the pasuk we're darshaning. V'chol l'rosh, omar rav chonon ba'rova, omar rav yochonon afilu, Reish Gargiso min Shmaya Monu Lei. Even a minor appointed position of leadership, even someone who is head of the water supply, the Reish Gargiso, Rashi says, the Gargiso is a bore, a pit. Hamemuna al hachofrim chafiros lamalos and mayim kedeashkas ben sodasan. The one who's in charge of the pit diggers is an appointment that comes from heaven. The idea behind this is that every leadership position, position of authority, is something that is determined from on high, from literally on high, from heaven. So that this also gives pause to think about the concept of a political or democratically elected officials, but ultimately who is deciding who gets into what position and what office. It's something that is, its origin is in heaven.
B'masnisa Tana, Mishmei de Rabbi Kiva, a Tanaic source, in the name of Rabbi Kiva, takes the same pasuk and offers an alternative explanation to the different parts. L'cho Hashem Agdula, Zu Kriyas Yamsuf. That's a reference to the splitting of the sea at the time of the exodus from Mitzrayim. V'agvura, Zu Makas Bechoros. The killing of the firstborn at the time of the exodus from Mitzrayim, firstborn of the Egyptians. Vatiferes, Zu Matan Torah, it's a reference to the giving of Torah. Vanetzach, Zu Yerushalayim. Netzach is a word that means permanence or eternity, and that's a reference to Jerusalem. Vahod, the glory, Zu Beis Hamikdash. We now continue with the Gemara on the top of Omid Beis, Tono Rabbanon. We have another Tanaic source, and it features seeing different houses of different peoples. Haroya Bote Yisrael B'Yishuvan, one who sees settled Jewish communities. Omer Boruch Matziv Gvul Amona. Rashi says, Kegon B'Yishuv Bayasheni, so that it's a function of seeing a Jewish community that had once been in ruins. The Matziv Gvul Amona is the one who restored the borders of the Amona, the widow. In other words, when the Kodesh Baruch Hu wrought destruction upon the Jewish people through in the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, so the Jews were viewed as if they were widowed. They were suffered this loss, as is the case of a widow. So when the houses are rebuilt, so it's as if the boundaries of the widow are restored. Bechorbanan, when one sees Jewish houses in desolation and destruction, Omer Baruch Dayan Haimes, the bracha for misfortune, which is the blessing of the Almighty, who is the honest judge. Bote Ovde Kechovim, one who sees idols, idol worshippers' homes and communities built, B'Yishuvan, meaning when they're built, Omer Bayis Geim Yisach Hashem, the type of prayer that the house of the haughty Hashem shall cut down. The Churbonon, when he sees the Bote Ovi Chachovim in ruins, Omer Keil Nekomos Hashem Keil Nekomos Safia, reference to the Almighty as being the Lord of Vengeance. Again, we have a long marking. You'll notice to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text, we've written Ulov Rav Chista Ubeso Rav Chona Chorev. A story involving Ula and Rav Chista chancing upon the house of a great individual, Rav Chona Bar Chaniloi, that was in ruins. And by noticing the dashed vertical line to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text, you can see the length of this incident. We will also be using long markings to the left-hand side of the Gemara text to be able to keep track of a long question, followed by a long response, and then a long point. The Gemara continues, Ula and Rav Chista havu ko'azli bu'urcha. Ula and Rav Chista were walking on the road, ki motu apischa debei Rav Chona bar Chaniloi, when they chanced upon the entrance to the home of Rav Chona. Nogad Rav Chista v'esnach. Rav Chista let out a grunt. Omar le Ula. Ula said to Rav Chista, and he asks him a question. Notice it's a long question. The shin that you see in circles of the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text and the subsequent vertical dashed line indicates the length of the question.
Amai ko masnechis. Why are you sighing or expressing a moaning, grunting sigh? The Omar Rav Anocha Shiver's Chatzigufo Sholem. Rav says that this kind of exasperation breaks half the body of a person. Shneimar ve'ato ben adam ha'anach v'shivron mosnayim v'chulei. Shivron is the breaking of mosnayim, one's midsection, and ha'anach has to do with this sighing. Rav Yochanan Omar af kol gufo shel adam. Not only half the body, but the entire body is broken by this type of sighing. Shneimar. The kol lev is a reference to the namas kol lev, the melting of the entire person. So the question is raised. Ulo's question to Rav Chisa is why are you grunting? Why are you sighing this way? It's not healthy. It's destructive. Amar Lei, Rav Chisda responds, Hey Chiloes, now how can I not express my woefulness and exasperation? Beisa, and what's going to happen, you see this, we have a long answer now, and Rav Chisda is going to go on to describe the home of Rav Chaniloi, what it was once like, that we see it now, and now we see it in ruins. He says, "Beisa dava boshisin afiyasa biyamoma," a house that had 60 bakers in it. The shisin afiyasa by day and 60 shisha afiyasa b'leila, and 60 bakers at by night. The afyun luchoman ditzorach, and they would bake goods for anyone who needed. Velo shokal yoda min kisa, and he wouldn't reach into his pocket. The Savar Dilma Osi Oni, you know, let's be more accurate. The Lo Shoka Yodam in Kisa, he didn't remove his hand from his pocket. His hand was always in his pocket, holding on to the change. The Savar, he was figuring Dilma Osi Oni Bartovim, a fine, reputable, poor man may come by. The Adamotu Le Lekisa, and by the time I get to the pocket or the pouch, komachsif, he will be embarrassed. So we're describing Rav Chana Bar Chanilo is always having his purse or pouch of money with him, so as not to enable any lapse in time between the appearance of the poor man and his giving him charity. Because otherwise, if he weren't like this, but would have to, when an oni comes, have to go look for his purse, so the poor man might be overcome with embarrassment. Let's read that in the Gemara. The Adamotu Le Lekisa, and by the time Rav Chana Bar Chanoi would reach his purse, Komachsif, the poor man would experience embarrassment and run away. So this diligence on the part of Rav Chana Bar Chaniloi enabled him to perform the act of tzedakah, of charity, without losing it because of the embarrassment that might overcome the poor man in the meantime. Vesu, furthermore, havu psichin le arba bovi larba ruchsa de amo. He had four entranceways to his house from the four different directions, northeast, west, and south. The whole, the Hava Ayil Kofin, anyone who entered his house ravenous, Nofik Ki Sova, left with satisfaction, satisfied. The Havu Shodi Lui Chiti Visari Vishne Batsoras Avroi. Shne Batsoras are the years of famine, but Shodu Lei, he had cast outside of his house wheat and barley in years of famine. The whole man dechsifa milso the mishkal biyamama. Anyone who was embarrassed to come and request a type of handout during the day, osi v'shoke b'leila, would now be able to come and take at night from the supplies that were placed outside, the wheat and barley that were placed outside. And all of this, says Rav Chisda, Hashto, but now Nofal Betila Velo Esnach is now in a heap of ruins, and I shouldn't grunt? So Rav Chisda clearly explains his sense of woe in what he is seeing, recounting the glory of this home of exceptional kindness. Omar Lei, Ula says, Hochi Omar Rav Yochanan, understand it this way, as Rav Yochanan teaches, Miyoyim Shecharon Beis HaMikdash, from the day that the temple was destroyed, Nigzru Gzera Boteim Shel Tzadikim Sheyech Revu, the ruling went forth that the homes of the righteous shall also be destroyed. Shenemar biOznei Hashem Tzivokis Imlo Botim Rabim L'Shamo Yu Gedolim V'Tovim Me'ein Yoshev. Pasuk indicating that the homes of the great will be in ruins without any dwelling. In other words, in desolation. The Omer of Yochanan also Elosh Baruch Lachzir in the Yeshuvan. Rabbi Yochanan also offers words of consolation that the Almighty will eventually restore them. Shenemar Shir Malsa David Habotchim Bashem Kehar Tzion. Mahart, in this pasuk we see a juxtaposition between the Bothan Bashem, the ones who have faith in Hashem, and Har Tzion, the Mount of Zion. Ma Har Tzion osi l'Kadosh Baruch Hu l'achziro l'yishuvo, just like the Har Tzion, which is a reference to the Jerusalem and the Temple Mount, will be restored. Af Boteim shel Tzadikim osi l'Kadosh Baruch Hu l'achziro l'yishuvo, and so too the houses of the righteous will be restored. Chazio delo miyashiv daite. Ula saw that Rav Chisda was still not consoled. Amale, Ula says, Dayo le'eved she'karabo. It's enough that the servant is like the master. And if the master's home, the Beis HaMikdash, is in ruins, so the servant shall be the same way. The tzaddik's home also the same way. So that he's offering a type of consolation through misery. So if the Beis HaMikdash is in ruins, it's understandable that the homes of the righteous are also in ruins. Tana Rabbanan, another source featuring seeing different things. Haroya, here we're going to focus on noticing graves. Kivrei Yisrael is underlined, and a few lines later, Kivrei Ovdei Kochavim. Haroya Kivrei Yisrael Omer, one who sees graves of Jewish people, Jewish graves. He says, Baruch Hashem Yotzer Eschem Bedin, V'zon Eschem Bedin, V'kilka Eschem Bedin, V'osav Eschem Bedin, V'osav La'akim Eschem Bedin. Blessed be the Almighty who created you. Bedin is through justice or through law. V'zon Eschem Bedin has supported you. And Kilka Eschem, also a form of support. V'osav Eschem Bedin and gathered you in through the law, through justice, the osi lakim chen, and also in the future will be restored justly. You can see a bracketed section where you see a Gemara text appearing in the middle of this Tanaic source, adding to the text of the Brocho we just alluded to, Marbrid, and afterwards the Tanaic source continues with Kivrei Ovdei Kochavim. So the Gemara interruption or addition in the brackets, Marbrid Ravina Messiah Ba Mishmei de Rav Nachman. Marbrid Ravina adds in the name of Rav Nachman a closing bracha, a closing. Notice we opened up with Baruch Hashem Yotzer Eschem, and now he has a continuation of the text with a closing bracha, which reads, V'yodea mispar kulchem, and he knows your numbers, V'osid lach yoschem ulekayim eschem, and in the future he will resurrect you and sustain you. Baruch mechaye hamesim. That's the closing bracha. However, in stark contrast, Kivrei Ovdei Kochavim, one who sees an idol worshipper cemetery, Omer Busha Imchem. This same expression we had seen earlier, also in the context of idol worshippers. Busha Imchem means your mother is shamed. Omar Rav Yishuv ben Levi. More Birchos Re'iya, brachos upon sighting. And this, on the side, we've entitled in our notes, say, brachos ahoroyas chavero, brachos on seeing a friend. And the time factor figures here. So, haroya es chavero la'achar shloshim yom, one who sees his friend after not having seen him for 30 days. Omer, you say, boruch shechiyonu v'kimonu v'giyonu lazman hazeh. Li'achar yud beis chodesh, one who sees his friend for the first time after 12 months. So he says, Omer Boruch Mechaye Hamesim. It's a type of restoration, revival of the dead. Omer Rav, Ein Hames Mishtakach Min Halev, Elo Lachar Shneim Osor Chodesh. If one, Lo Aleinu, loses a close one, there's a certain drop in mourning intensity, we'll say, so that the Gemara describes it as the deceased is not forgotten until 12 months pass. Shenemar nishkachti kemeis milev hoisik kli oved. Kli oved is a lost article, and the pasuk makes reference to the forgetting of the mace of the deceased. In the case of a forgotten article, so Rashi explains on the second line from the top, Ustam kli la'achar yudbeis chodesh mishtakach min alev, a lost article after 12 months is forgotten. Diyeush bailim la'achar yudbeis chodesh pergel metzias, the giving up of hope of the original owner sets in after 12 months. As it says in the second parak of Bava Metzia, Elu Metzias, Mishamotze Kli, Oshum Metzia, Chayav Lachruz, Sholosh Regolim, Vimnim Sachar Asukis, Zorach Lahamtin, Lachruz, Bepesav Atzeres, Bechag, the Hainu Yud Beis Chodesh, Vishuvain Zorach Lachruz. After 12 months, there is no further need to announce, to issue announcements, because the original owner will have forgotten about it. The pasuk, therefore, you see this juxtaposition between mace and a kli oved. The Gemara continues now with another incident. We have a long marking for this. It's marked as maisa to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text with the descending vertical dashed line. Rav Papa Rav Huna Brev Yeshua Havoko Azli Burcha, these two rabbis were on the road, Pogu Bei Rav Chanina Brei Duravika, and they met Rav Chanina. Amru Lei, they Rav Papa Rav Huna said to Rav Chanina, Bahadi de Chazinoch, when we saw you, Baruchinon Alech Tarti, we made two brochas. Number one, Boruch Asher Cholak Michochmos L'Reav, a blessing to the Almighty of upon seeing a very great Jewish sage, that he has given of his wisdom to those that fear him, v'shechiyonu, the second bracha was shechiyonu. Omar lehu, and Rav Chanina said to them, ano nani kevon dechazisinchu, when I beheld you, chash v'tinchu iluvoi keshisin ribon Yisrael, you were as significant as 600,000 Jews. Ubarchino alaychu tlosa, and I said over you, alaychu is you in the plural, that's a reference to Rav Papa and Rav Huna Brev Yeshua, I said over you three brachas. Hanoch tarti, the two that you mentioned, of chochs midrav and shechiyanu, and ubor chochem arozim. This is the bracha that's said when one sees an assembly of 600,000 Jews. And I said that when I saw you too. Omar Omrule, they responded in either consternation or in certainly exasperation. They said to him, Chachimus Kulehai, literally, are you so smart? But it's you have to understand that what he did is to say a bracha that's designed for 600,000 people, and he said it over these two. So they said to him, are you so great that you can invent brachas for things that are that they're not designed for. Yavu bei enayu v'shachiv. They gave him the rabbinic look, whereas they cast their eyes upon him and he died. This piece of Gemara, in my opinion, needs quite a bit more explanation when you see how it opened with their great admiration of him and then it closed with this very seemingly unfortunate end. The Gemara continues, Amar Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Horoya esha bahoknim, bahoknim, I've seen translated as pockmarked individuals, Omer Boruch Mishane Habrios. Blessed be the Almighty who created unusual creatures. Meisvei. The Gemara raises a question from a Tanaic source, and in this source there are a number of different oddities and problems that occur amongst human beings. But what we have to focus on is the end of the source where you see the dashed underline which follows Bahaknim. Bahaknim is, the bracha said over them is Baruch Dayan Emes. And that's a challenge to what Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, that seeing Bahaknim, one would say Mishana Habrios, a different bracha. Meisvei. So the Gemara raises a question. Ra es hakushi ves hagichur ves halafkon. One who sees a kushi is someone who's exceptionally dark or black in color. Something that is, we'll have to assume, is something out of the ordinary in as such. Vesagichor, someone who is exceptionally red in color. Vesalafkon, someone who is albino. Vesakipeach, vesananos, vesadarnikus. All of these are different phenomena, which Rashi explains. The kipeach, Rashi says, beten godol mitoch ovyo nires komosu mikupachas. Someone who is exceptionally obese, and as a result of his great width, so his height seems to have been cut down. So the word mikupachas is associated with cut down, but it's a result of what we just described. So if one sees a kipeach or a darnikus, Rashi says, on this, he gives you a French word, or a loshon acher is someone with a crooked mouth. Well, and if one sees any of these, a kiper or nanos is also someone who is exceptionally, is a what we would probably call a dwarf. Omer Boruch Mishana Habrios. So the bracha for this list that we just read is, blessed be he who has created unusual or changed people. Es hakitea ves hasuma ves psuya rosh. If one sees these kind of people, Ikitea Rashi says Sheniktu Yodov is someone whose arm has been removed, or a Suma, blind individual, or Psuye Harosh. The note on the side of the Gemara says Mi She'ein Rosho Skalgal Ela Rechova. Someone whose shape, someone who has a misshaped head, we will say, someone that's it doesn't have a spherical look to it. The Eshachiger Vesamukishchin, Chiger is a lame individual. Mukishchin is someone who's afflicted with boils. The Eshabahaknim, and this is what we have to really focus on. It says Boruch Omer Boruch Dayan Emes. So instead of what Rav Shimon Levi suggested, which was Moshana Brios, the bracha seems to be over Bahaknim, pockmarked individuals. Dionemus, lo kashya, ha mimei imoy, ha bosu dius yalid. It depends. If it's someone who has this from birth, so then you would say mishana brios, someone for whom misfortune fell, and after they were born, they turned into a pockmarked individual. Then one would say boruch dionemus. Daikonami, and by careful reading, you can see how our answer is meaningful. Dikotoni dumyo dikitea, because the Bahaknim in the Tanaic source is taught in the context of kitea, and a kitea, someone who experienced lo aleinu an amputation, which is after they were born, so that the Bahaknim over which you say dynamis is also after they were born. Shema mino, leaving Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, as a legitimate position, because he is referring to Bahaknim that were born that way. Tanu Rabbanan, Haroya Piel, Koif, Vekipuf, Omer, Boruch, Mishan HaBrius, one who sees these creatures, they are, each one has something that sets them apart from all other creatures. The Piel is a massive animal, an elephant, Koif, and a Kipuf. So one would say over them, a Koif is a monkey, a Kipuf is a type of bird that Rashi says that has jaws like that of a person. And we saw this in the dream sugi as well. So it's an oddity for a bird to look like that. It's likely something one would associate with an owl. So he would say, Mishane Abrios. Ra Brios Tovos Vilonas Tovos. Omer Boruch Shekocha Lobanov. One sees beautiful creatures and beautiful trees. He says this bracha of Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Shekocha Lo Be'olamo, that thusly there is in his world. Al Hazikin, the Mishnah referred to a bracha one makes over Zikin, my Zikin. So what is that? Omar Shmuel, Kochva Deshavit. Kochva Deshavit, from the description one sees in the Rashi, it would appear to be what we in English would call a comet. The Omar Shmuel, Shmuel points out, Nehirin li shvili d'shma, kishvili d'nahar da. Familiar to me, Nehirin is an expression of familiarity. Familiar to me, shvili are the paths of heaven, like the paths of Nahar da. Nahar da is the name of the town in which Shmuel lived. So Shmuel was in fact known as a great astronomer. He was familiar with heavenly bodies, no less than his familiarity with local streets. All is familiar. Labar mikoichvo deshavit teloyadana mai nihu, with the exception of the comet, which is something I don't know what it is. Ugmiri, we have a tradition telo ovar kasla, that the koichvo deshavit won't pass through the mazal, the constellation known as Ksil. The e ovar kasla, if it were to pass through that constellation, Chorav Alma, it would be the destruction of the world. The Gemara asks, Baha Kochazino Dovar, but we look up in the heavens and we see comets passing through this constellation of Ksil. The Gemara says, no, the comet head doesn't pass through that. It's Zive Hu Dovar, Umischazi Kidovar Ihu. It's Zive, its glow. A possible reference to its tail might appear to go through that constellation, but it itself, the comet head, doesn't. Rav Huna Breidi of Yeshomar, Vilon Hu Demikra. You might notice we have a numbering system. This numbering system, especially this number 2, is based on the Tosfos reading of the Gemara and not based on Rashi. So according to Tosfos, Rav Huna Rav Shua is a second explanation of what a Kochva Deshavit is. And he says he uses imagery here, but it's like the curtain is torn. Umechsi Nahora Durakia. So that we'll say the night sky represents a curtain, and behind the night sky there is the glow of the glorious heavens. And that's what Umechsi Nahora Durakia, one sees the light of the firmament. Rav Ashi, a third approach, Omar, Koichva Hu De Okar Mehai Gisa De Kaslo. It's a star that's uprooted from one end of this constellation of Ksil. The Chozi Le Chavre Mehach Gisa Umivis. And a star on the other side of this constellation, Kasla or Ksil, sees its friend, the star, getting uprooted, ripped out, so it's overcome with fright. Umechsi keman d'ovar, and it creates an image as if the Kochva Deshavit passed through the constellation. What we are saying in these last few lines of Gemara might seem a bit obscure, and in fact they are. Further research is necessary. We are presenting more or less the basic translation of the Gemara. And we should also just offer a disclaimer for the next, for the balance of this Omid of Gemara, and the next few lines on the several few lines on the top of Nun Tesem Aleph will similarly appear to be a bit obscure. Shmuel raises an inconsistency in Psukim. Ksiv, Ose Osh Ksil Vekima. The Almighty may, Ose, makes these different heavenly forms. Uksiv, Ose, Kima, Uksil. And then a Pasuk in Amos, we have a Pasuk in Eov and a Pasuk in Amos, which present the same information but in reversed order. And you can see that with our lettering, that in the first Pasuk from Eov, it says first Ksil and Kima, and the next Pasuk from Amos has Kima and then Ksil. And our lettering attempts to reflect that. Ha Ketzad, so how are we to resolve this? So Rashi says that both are equal. In other words, the fact that the order is reversed to show that they're both really of equal significance. Gemara elaborates. Ha Ketzad, il mole chama shel ksil, lo yiskayim olam neitzino shel kima. If not for the heat generated by the constellation Ksil, the world would not be able to survive because of the frigidness generated by Kima, which is the name of another constellation. Vilmole Tsino Shel Kima, if not for the frigidness of Kima, Leniskayim Oilom Ibnechamo Shel Ksil, the world would not subsist, would not continue without because of the heat generated by Ksil. Ugmiri, and we have a tradition, Ilav Uksa the Akrava the Monach Vinahar Dinar. Akrava is the name of another constellation, if not for the fact that the tail of the constellation known as Akrava, translated maybe as Scorpio, the scorpion form, if its tail of this, the tail of this scorpion constellation was not lying in Nahar Dinor. Some would like to explain Nahar Dinor as the Milky Way. It's called just a heavenly river, some great stream of stars. So if not for the fact that the tail of this constellation of Akrava is positioned in Nahar Dinor, Kol man dahavetriko le Akrava, anyone who would be bitten by a scorpion lahavichoya would not live. So the fact that the constellation is positioned the way it is enables a situation where someone who is bit by a scorpion that it should not be fatal. Vahainu dekomer le rachmona le Eov, and it's with this in mind that the Almighty said to Eov. Eov at a certain point in his life, after experiencing tremendous suffering, started to question and raise doubts, and the Almighty responded, Hat kasher ma'adanois kima o moshchos ksil tefateach? The Gemara at the end of in the first paragraph above of Basra features at much greater length the description of the responses given to Eov, who started to question things. And the thrust of the answers that the Almighty gave to him was that the world and the universe is created with tremendous balance. So that the Kodesh Baruch Hu was saying to him that who else other than I could create this balance? And that's what is being reflected by this pasuk, which if you were to give a literal translation to it, it would say, can you possibly bind the chains of Kima or loosen the bands of Ksil? My Kima, what is behind the name Kima, that particular constellation? Omar Shmuel, Kemea Kochvi. The word Kima is an abbreviated form of 100 stars. Amri Law, the Mechanthi. Some say 100 stars that are concentrated, gathered together. The Amri Lo, the Mivzuron. Some say 100 stars that are scattered. My Osh. Notice we have a little arrow to the right-hand side of the Gemara text. You can see a parallel arrow a number of lines above where the Osh was mentioned in the Pasuk prior to Ksil and Kima. So the Gemara is asking, what is Osh a reference to? Amar of Yudah, Utah. My Utah. It's not a state in the central western part of America. So what is Utah? Amar Lo, Zonov Tle, the Amri Lo, another version is Resha de Egla. So some say that it's the tail of the constellation known as Tle, a sheep, and some say it's the head of the constellation known as Egla, the calf. So we have Osh, and bearing in mind that Osh was featured in the Pasuk followed by Ksil and then Kima, and the Gemara now points out Umistabro Kimad Omar Zonav Tle. It's most likely that Osh is like the first of the two possibilities. It's a reference to that it is the tail of the Tle. Dichtiv V'ayish al boneha tinochem. Ayish is a term equal to Osh, will be consoled over its lost children. So, that being the case, we know that Almo Chasra, that Osh is something that is lacking, that's missing something. Hence it says that it'll be Osh will be comforted for her children. In other words, something, it indicates that this Osh lost something. So the Gemara says that it shows us that it lost something. Umischazio ke tirfa de toref. And it appears as something that we're at the top of Nun Tes Omid Aleph, something that is lacking. And we look at the Rashi at the top, Ketirfa de Toref, Dover Shu Choser, something that's missing. Visosmu Migufo, She Asau Konus, Umischazi Kemaka Bakunus. It appears something that had been lacking and was restored through itself. So, well, how can that be? So if you can imagine something that developed a hole in it, and then you took a hammer and smashed it or flattened it, thereby causing it to be sealed up through its own material. By flattening out the thicker substance that had a hole in it, you're in effect sealing it. So we're referring right now to Osh as having experienced that. So V'hai the Ozla Basra, the fact that that Ayish, Rashi explains the Ozla Ayish Achar Kimo, that in the procession of the constellations, Ayish follows the constellation of Kimo. The Omrole, it's as if Osh is saying to Kima, Havli Bonai, give me back my children. Now, what is this a reference to? Shebishosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bikesh Lahavi Mabul Olam, when the Kadosh Baruch Hu in the time of Noach and the great flood decided to bring the flood upon the world, Notal Shnei Kechava Mikima, he took two stars from Kima. He removed two stars from that constellation. Vehevi Mabul Olam. This brought the flood upon the world. Ukshibikesh Lasasma. When he wanted to seal up that which was formed because of the removed stars. Notal Shnei Kechovim Me'ayish Vesasma. He took two stars away from Osh and put it in Kima. As a result of that, Ayish is looking to Kima to achieve restoration. Therefore, Ayish is following Kima, and hence with this we're explaining the as the Gemara pointed out, the bottom of Nun Chesamid Beis, that it is appropriate to say that Osh is the Zon of Tleh. We should have mentioned, but it's not too late, to the Rashi at the bottom of Nun Chesamid Beis, Alma Chosra, Vahai Zonov, the Zonov of the Tle, Mischazi Ketirpa de Torah. It looks like its image is like something that is missing. So, in order to define Osh, and your choice being Zonov Tle or Resh de Egla, Zonov Tle is more likely, because the Zonov Tle is something that appears to be missing something, and the Pasuk bears that out when it said, Ayish al Boneh Tinochem. And we're explaining now how all of this comes to be, because Ayish lost its stars when at the point that the flood ended and Kemah needed to be sealed up. So in the procession of these constellations, Ash is found following Kemah, trailing it, trying to get its stars back. The Gemara goes on to ask, V'lehader lo, why did the Kodesh Baruch Hu not just return the stars that it took from Kemah? The very stars that it removed, bringing the flood, so put them back in. The Gemara gives two answers. One, Ein habor mismali michul yoso, that a pit doesn't get filled up with the dirt that was removed from it. It's an expression indicating that it won't effectively seal up. Once you took away the sealer, the stars, and the flood thereby ensued, by returning the stars, it won't be an effective sealer. Inami, another explanation of why the stars that were removed to bring the flood cannot now be brought to stop it. Ein kategor nase sanegor. The prosecutor does not become the defender. And if these were the stars, the original stars were taken out and brought the flood, they serve like the prosecution, they cannot now be the source of salvation and the ending of the flood. The Gemara asks, why still do you take away from Osh, Velivri, Lo, Tre, Kochvi, Achrini? Why doesn't the Almighty just create two new stars? The Gemara answers, Ein kol chodosh tachas Hashemesh. He answers with the pasuk from Koheles that once the Kodesh Baruch Hu established creation, that's it. There's nothing new created. So that there's a finite number of stars that were created at that point in time and nothing further. Omer Rav Nachman, also the Kodesh Baruch Hu lachzir lo, in the future, the stars that Osh lost will be restored to it. Shnemar v'ayish alboneo tinochem, that Ayish will be consoled at some point in the future. This concludes today's Gemara section of Gemara Markings Daf Yomi. For those who are interested, our site offers a shiur on today's Daf Yomi Tosfos, presenting the Tosfos text with explanation.